Welcome to Cabronas y Chingonas, a podcast where we talk about queer and Latinx topics such as
Animal Crossing. It's like the gayest Nintendo Switch game I've ever played, but also it's like self-care. There's an actual character in there that mentions a lesbian rom-com, so just for that, shout out Animal Crossing. I don't think you should be gay. I think you actually are gay, so I really love you. And shout out to everybody playing this game. It is the gayest way to relax right now, and I love it.
I thought it was like The Sims. I didn't know that there was like characters that weren't created by people.
Yeah, there's like villagers that live on your island that aren't created by anyone, and they just have their own personalities already and react to you and remember like your island visitors. They remember things you've done. Sometimes they get annoyed with you because you talk to them too much throughout the day. So it's great. I fucking love it.
Jeez.
Yeah.
What up, cabrona?
What's poppin', chingona? What's goody? How are you feeling?
way better than I was yesterday. Yeah, I don't even know what the hell was wrong with me, honestly. But oh, yeah. I'm not sick anymore at all, I don't think. So I'm super stoked on that shit.
Yeah, so we've both been feeling a lot of the symptoms of a coronavirus. Like, you had a fever yesterday, I had a fever today. The body aches are mostly gone, but I still feel, like, really, really, really tired. Like, I don't know, dude. Like, I had, like, a mild fever this morning and, like, all them body aches. So, everybody, stay the fuck inside. It's super serious, and it was super scary today for me. So, it's, stay inside, please.
Yeah. Dude, I walked in to the house today, to my mom's house, and was forced to immediately remove all my clothing and change and God and like disinfect my shoes and the whole process. Like, I feel like half of the Mexicans are like, I don't care about this thing, and then the other half are like, don't breathe near me.
I'm like part of the population that's definitely like, don't breathe near me or in my direction. Had some like family members drop off some food, and I was like, don't come near me, I'm sick, please. Because I mean, it gets really serious. Like, once you start feeling those body aches and you get a fever, you're just like, oh fuck, like I don't want to even like move from this apartment. Like, I don't even want to go outside and get air. Like, you're just kind of scared for everybody. So I was like, you know, making peace with it. I was like, man, fuck, like my fever hasn't really gone down, like fuck it, like this is the end. But I'm really glad that right now I feel better, and hopefully we'll see. A lot of people said that, you know, it has like a second wind or something, so I'm just kind of monitoring and drinking lots of liquids and chilling out. So I'm glad we're both okay for the most part.
Seemsies. Screw that scare.
Yeah.
In other COVID news, we're like a freaking news channel now,
right?
Like, oh my god, the wildest shit happened. Like, I'm gonna try to keep it short, but have you heard about like all these kind of like these landlords kind of preemptively trying to remind people like you still gotta pay rent, you know, there's no rent freeze or whatever. So yep. my landlords did that shit, but they did it in like a very threatening way, and somebody messed up in sending out that email, because they usually BCC us, like you can't see who the other recipients, but they fucked up and did do two huge things, because they own several properties, this management company, like a ton, and like they accidentally CC'd everybody, so we all have each other's information. And because they were basically threatening to evict us if we don't pay, like,
oh, fuck.
They're like, we can't evict you right now, but we can later. So basically everybody's organizing for a rent, like basically a rent strike and like complaints, and like lawyers have gotten in touch and unions have gotten in touch. And it went like semi-viral on Twitter.
I saw.
It was crazy. But it was like, dude, it was just so crazy that like not only did they send this threatening message, but they also happened to fuck up and get us all in contact with each other.
They unionized. They caused this. It's great. That's a great fuck up, because most of them aren't fucking up like that.
And some of their tenants, or one of their tenants is like from the LA Times. Another one's from like People Magazine. Like, this is Los Angeles, dude. Like, we're half of us are in the media, you know. So they messed up, dude. And there's so many reasons that we could really take action. So it's been an interesting couple of days for me.
Oh shit, yeah, let us know. Keep us updated on the rent strike on and the I tea. Hope on the tea. Shout out to, I mean, you know, I'm sending y'all really positive vibes. Our property owners, the manager they just put notices on everyone's door and said, if you can't pay rent, just let us know and like we'll work something out. So I'm thinking some people,
because there's according to the law, and I don't know, in case anybody doesn't know this, maybe it's a good thing to share, but with the laws in place right now, I don't know about everywhere, but specifically in LA, you can't get evicted, and I think at least until June, like through June, if you don't pay. And then after June, like supposing that they don't extend that, you have 12 months to pay it back. Yeah, so you know, look into that law, whatever your local area is. Like, if you can't pay, don't pay. Like, there's this hashtag, I think it's like food over rent or something like that. Like, if you don't have enough money for food, like, don't pay your definitely rent.
Yeah, you can't pay fucking rent. Like, I don't think Texas has that shit. I don't think anyone's protected here. I was honestly shocked.
I mean, just like specific, like COVID specific laws right now, like there might be something. It's worth looking into.
Yeah, I need to look into that, because like right now I have a job, right? I don't know if next week or next month, or you know, because this is not ending anytime soon, so I don't know if I'll have a job anytime soon. So I'm just, I don't know, we'll see where this goes, and I'm hoping that everything goes right with y'all and y'all don't get evicted. Like, get the media involved.
I mean, legal, like serious legal recourse would happen. But anyways, I'm glad that we're so easily organized. You guys should try to do the same if you have maybe like smaller, if you know your neighbors. LA is a big place where you do not know your neighbors, so it's kind of great.
Yeah, no. So
moving on to other COVID things, but that are more related to this podcast. So much is like COVID is affecting production all around, and it's all the theaters are closed for them, are all important ones. All like AMC has been like suspended. AMC A-listers were like, no. So yeah, it's kind of been doing a lot. And I know you were wanting to talk about some of the shit that's getting postponed.
Yeah. So I think it's the opposite. I know they're going to lose money if they release movies right now, but I feel like maybe they won't. I feel like a lot of people are bored. Maybe if they just lower the prices of their movies, and I think everyone would be able to watch them, you know, like $5 versus $20. So I know In the Heights got postponed. I know Mulan is getting postponed. And that's like, I feel like those are wrong moves right now. I feel like there's plenty of people bored at home right now that if they gave $5, who cares? Well,
what sucks,
right,
is that I think there's like, you know, like if it comes out on streaming, it gets complicated because of award season for one, as well as like other reasons. Like, there's a reason why Roma being released on Netflix was a whole complicated thing.
Yeah.
And it's also like, you're right, like they might make a pretty decent coin online, but I don't think it will compare, because it'll immediately, and I mean immediately,
yeah,
be ripped, and people will watch it illegally, and I don't blame them. And also I think like Mulan, for example, is one of those movies that maybe not by everybody, but should be seen on the big screen.
I agree. I just don't know when that will be. Like, I think realistically speaking, I don't know. I feel like they could give the people this. They're not giving their people paid sick leave. You know, they're not giving anyone enough money for anything, you know, and these corporations make how much? I think they can afford to just give us a movie. Like, if we're being honest, like, Disney can give us a movie.
But they're not gonna. I mean, they're gonna give us stuff that, like, isn't gonna affect future releases. That's why Disney Plus and Netflix are, like, going ham right now.
Yeah, that's true.
And TV's doing some interesting stuff. Killing Eve is getting released early.
thank God. I mean, what would we do? I mean, but I, one day at a time is back at least, and Killeen Eve is coming back earlier.
But it's not completely back.
No, it's not. It's not. And
it's not completely back. But hopefully, yeah, there's definitely going to be a delay in release on one day at a time. I'm already warning you guys, after those first six episodes are done, you're going to have to wait again. I'm sorry. I already know.
I'm so sad. That's...
It's... But what's cool is that, I mean, it's cool, but it's also not cool. There's, but all these writers are still in pre-production for so many television shows. So as soon as this shit calms down or like goes, really realistically goes away, like people are going to be in production, dude, like full production. Pre-production is going to be like taken care of for at least like 6 months or some shit.
Yeah. Hopefully. We just don't know when the fuck this ends, and I don't see an end. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. We're definitely peaking right now, so it's hard to see the end. We're in the brunt, it feels like.
Yeah, so I'm just, I don't know. Corporations are evil. They all suck. Can't even pay their people sick leave and also just pay them to go home. You know, they have enough money to pay all of their workers to go home and stay there and still pay them. So corporations are evil. Corporations do not count as people. I don't care what the fucking U.S. government says. They are not people. Fuck that law. Corporations do not equal people. People are people, and they should, you know, they should be respected right now. People shouldn't be hungry right now. And it's so fucked up right now. So I just, I don't know what is happening. But yeah. So what more do we have in depressing news?
in lighter news, I know there's a couple of things that you and to talk about that you've been watching.
Yeah, so recently, what have I been watching, my friend? That's a great question.
Los Tigres del el Rey de los Tigres del Norte.
Oh my God, el Tigre del pinche Oklahoma. Okay, so I, like everyone else, have been obsessing over Tiger King, and not for the same reasons that y'all have. And not you, my everyone else. White people are making lovely jokes about him. Yes, he's funny. Yes, he's evil. Yes, absolutely every single fucking person that owns wild animals and big cats is fucking evil. I'm just glad everyone's seeing the same rednecks that we've always known our entire life. And this is the kind of environment that, like, those rednecks are very normal for us. Like, that redneck, him specifically, Joe Exotic, super normal, actually. I don't know. Fuck Carol Baskin as well.
Really? I've only seen one episode.
Oh no, Carol Baskin sucks, dude. She is exactly like them, except she thinks she's not because white privilege, and every single one of them is delusional. Also, shout out to there being basically no black folk and no brown folk. There is one Native American person that I heard that
I think they're trans, and they might have been misgendered the whole show.
Exactly, on purpose. Trash. I think they asked to be to leave their dead name out, and then they kept referring to them as her. So it's that's problematic.
That's some problematic white people shit.
It's like everything I've ever learned. People got upset because they found out Joe Exotic wanted to use the N-word, and I was like, okay, but the N-word, okay, didn't you just see, do you see this man? Do you think he's a good person? I'm confused.
Do you think he doesn't use the N-word?
I'm like, wait, do you not think he's racist? That's hilarious. And that's what I'm seeing, is that a lot of people are like, oh my God, he had to be racist. I'm like, dude, are we watching the same show? Of course he's fucking
people
racist.
People are really like, maybe it's because he's in prison. Is it because he's in prison that they're like not demonizing him so much? I feel like everybody's all like, oh, check out his drip because of his bomber jacket that he put on. I'm like, dude, this guy sucks. The second that he was like, I will never financially recover from this, I was like, this dude can die.
He's a piece of shit.
He can get eaten by a tiger for all I care.
Oh my God, imagine. We almost got to see that, but the motherfucker, of course, is Texan and has lots of guns. So I just... Oh, sorry. No, I mean, it's you know what's going on. I'm not spoiling anything, but I'm just saying, I'm just really shocked that everyone's shocked. You know,
yeah,
that a white person was whiting. I'm like, what? You're shocked that a white man is a white man? I'm not. I expected all these things, and I'm still going to laugh at him because he's evil, just like Carol Baskin and Doc Antle, and all of them allegedly are evil. Anyways.
Anyways, right before we move into maybe our topics, I do want to quickly say, if you're listening to this episode on the day that it comes out on Thursday at 5:30 Pacific time, 5:30 Pacific time, I should be going live with Corey Zenos from the Fortnite on the Fortnite YouTube channel. Ooh. I'll post a link on our website and probably on our Instagram and stuff, so you guys can go join in. We're going to talk about all things Fortnite, and you guys should check out the show if you haven't yet.
Yes,
I'm in episode 7.
Oh, you're in episode 7? Is that the one that... Okay, anyways. No, I'm not going to do that right now. Anyways, no spoiling. Y'all go watch Fortnite. Corey was on... If you don't know, Corey's been on one of our episodes previously. Amazing, amazing creator. Please go listen to the episode because Corey's awesome. But yeah, anyways.
Let's talk about Freeform.
Ooh, Freeform. Dude, the more I watch Freeform, the more I was like, I need more liquor. Like, this is... Oh my god. So anyways, yeah.
It's formerly ABC Family. When people are always like, what's Freeform? I'm like, it's just new ABC Family. Like, that's what that is. But they've really been doing some shit. They used to... They kind of still do, like, do a lot of shows about family and stuff, but... They don't only do family shows anymore.
No.
Did you watch some of the, like, old ABC Family shows in the past?
Yeah, I mean, I when I had cable back in the day, the stolen cable, I'd watch, like, The Fosters, because, of course, that was, like, a big deal. And
The Fosters and fucking Chasing Life. Birth. Did you watch that?
I did not watch Chasing Life.
It was short-lived, but I watched it because of the queer storyline.
That I've heard of it only because of the queer storyline. Chasing Life, is that the one?
It's about, like, cancer.
And then, like, the daughter that goes to private school with the other girl that goes to private school who's really rich?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, okay, then yes, I did watch it.
But they do have a good history of, like, even before it wasn't as prominent as it is now, but they have a good history of having queer characters, like in Stitchers, which is now over, Pretty Little Liars, very gay show, very, like... Even trans show too.
Oh yeah, they weren't fucking around in
problematic,
that representation.
But it was representation all over the place. But it turned into Freeform in 2016, just a few years ago.
I love the rebranding of it though, because it's gotten their topics have expanded, as you said. Like it's still family oriented, but you know it's getting a little edgy there. They're exploring what the family is now, and maybe they grew with their audience. I feel like a lot of those teenagers are probably like in their mid to early 20s, and I feel like they grew with their actual audience, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, actually, fun fact, all of their current original programming, as in shows that are still airing right now, haven't been canceled. Every single one of them has a main queer character in it, and Grown-ish, I think, might be changing that soon, but every single one of them has main queer people. Like, today we're not going to talk about these shows, but they're also ones that you might want to look at if you want to see some more queers. But there's Siren, Motherland, Fort Salem, which just came out, and Grown-ish, which, like I said, it's a little iffy. Oh, and have you at all kept up with the Bold Type since we talked about it like a couple years ago?
No, I haven't, just from what you've told me. I've only binged Party of Five the show I'll be talking about today. But yeah, those are the only two that I've gotten to binge, and everything is going to be okay. I've actually seen the original Australian version, but anyways.
Oh, yeah. Well, I guess quick update on the Bold Type that I wanted to give. They're still really pushing the envelope on shit. Like, they have topics on, like, abortion, sex positivity, pegging. And,
what?
Yeah.
Wow.
And they even have, like, you know, well, you know, in real life, there's this issue with, like, lesbians kind of having, I guess, mixed feelings about bisexual women.
Oh, that's a crazy topic. Yeah, like, no one ever talks about that.
And they did very recently. And then season 3, I think they did a really good job talking about, like, activism and social justice and stuff.
No, I mean, Freeform's good at that, at, like, actually talking about things that are happening. It's just in the way that they tell those stories that sometimes I'm, like, cringe.
sure. So you haven't seen the American version of Everything's Gonna Be Okay?
That one I haven't. I actually remember seeing the Australian version just because it looks, I don't know, it was nothing to do. So I watched a bunch of those episodes. I liked it. I didn't know what you can tell us about it. I don't want to ruin that for you.
Oh, no. I mean, okay, so I didn't know what to expect with this show. If I'm being honest, the only reason I watched it because I really liked their poster designs, the way that the advertisements, basically the big billboards. I was like, this is really cute. And I just watched one episode. It's literally like taking the concept of using humor as a coping mechanism for pain and grief. They made it into a show. And like, it does it really well. The main character is Nicholas. He's an Australian gay man who becomes his like now orphaned half sister's guardian. He has two sisters that he now has to take care of, and one of them is Matilda. She's the older one, and she's on the autism spectrum, played by an actual woman on the autism spectrum. Her name is Kayla Cromer, and she's an amazing actress, and she has a great storyline. Let's just say, you know, there's a lot of queer shit in this show, not just Nicholas. And the younger sister is Genevieve, who is super sarcastic and super tiny, and she's 14, but she literally seems like a full-fledged adult sometimes. And they're both so funny together with her and Nicholas. And Nicholas, played by Josh Thomas, who created the series, which is really interesting. And all of these shows that we're talking about, by the way, are on Hulu. They're all available for streaming, and I believe all the seasons have wrapped up except maybe Grown-ish.
Yeah, the ones you've so far talked about, I'm thinking, yeah, they're still on, yeah, and they're wrapped up.
So yeah. Now that we've kind of covered the what I call the appetizers, let's go on to the main courses. Do you want to tell us about Good Trouble?
Yeah, so Good Trouble. So if you know anything about Good Trouble, you want to start with maybe the cast, you'd have to go back to the Fosters. So Good Trouble is kind of like a spin-off of the Fosters, and it still includes two characters you're going to know from the Fosters. It's going to be Callie and Mariella. Ooh, am I saying that right?
Mariana.
Ooh, girl. She's not my favorite one in that show, obviously. It's an ensemble cast, and it's kind of grown with them as well. It skipped past their bullshit lives and goes straight into like their mid early 20s, I believe. They're in downtown LA. Callie is trying to pass the bar exam, and I'm not gonna say her name right. Wow.
Mariana, oh, dude.
Yeah, I know. Right. I keep wanting, it's because I know Mariella, and I'm just like, why do I keep wanting to call her that? That's funny. Yeah, I'm like, I keep wanting to call her my other friend's name. Mariana is a woman in tech, and she's just starting out. She's brand new to the game, and she's kind of like the only, she's one of the few women in her tech company. So it gets a little interesting. A lot of it is interesting. There's a lot of things this show is attempting to do, and not all of their things are being achieved correctly, I believe. The actual show itself centers both these girls' lives and all the people around them in this loft apartment place in downtown LA, and those are where you find maybe the most interesting characters of the entire show. We have Shara Cola, who plays Alice. She is a closeted queer woman who is in love with her best friend, and then, you know, insanity ensues because, of course, you get Gael, who's beautiful, has the most amazing hair. He's an openly bisexual man, and that's kind of already interesting within itself because you don't really ever get to explore.
He's like a Latino artist too, which is nice.
A Latino artist who's a openly bisexual man. Like, there's so many layers there. I think out of everyone in that house, I think those are the two strongest characters that I find most interesting. I think they're written a little bit better than everyone else. Everyone else, it seems like that's where they kind of go wrong. But they do really good things with Gael and Alice sometimes. When the show isn't centered around these two girls' lives, trust me, they're like the minimal part of the show. I love both of them as actresses. I think they're doing really good, phenomenal job on the show. But I think their storyline often falls flat to me because I don't really care about a heteronormative, like, love triangle. It's not interesting to me.
That's what they kind of both have, huh? I just realized.
they both have, like, anyways, and it's not that interesting to me. What's interesting to me, and what the show I think is really strong in, is when they actually talk about Alice and when they talk about Gael. Now, there's one very, very special episode with Gael that I really, really love. And it's not really about him. It's kind of like an outer universe person of their Good Trouble MCU world, right? Like, it's based, there's an amazing, incredible episode, my favorite episode of Good Trouble, where it's about his sister. And it's about Jasmine, who is played by Hallie Sahar from Pose. She does like a little guest appearance every now and then. But this episode was semi-centered around her and her having her doble quinceañera, because she is a trans woman and she never got to have her original quinceañera. And so the whole episode is about her getting to just be happy and to have queer joy. And I think
and raise money for a good cause.
And raise money for trans service members, because of...
she also served, yeah.
She served. I think that was really dope that they incorporated a trans woman who was also an ex-service service member of the United States. And they center that, and they talk about how that serving was very important to her. And it's an important topic in that episode because she's trying to get dog tags, and she eventually receives them. And for a little portion of this episode, this very difficult episode of very hard conversations that Gael is having with his family, with his Latino family, with not just one generation, but his grandfather as well, where he gets to go back and defend his trans sister. And I think it's very dope and very rare to see that on television. And it was very well written, because everything that they're talking about is, it was very current to today, right? Like, the Trump wanted to ban trans people from serving in the military. And so that came into conversation in Good Trouble. And I thought that was really important to have and really important for us to watch. And for us to just get to feel a little bit of sense for like one moment in the episode, you get to have some kind of like relief. You get to have this kind of moment of like, wow, like, am I really seeing this? Like, I always see queer pain. And in this one episode, you get to see queer love, queer joy. And that's really, really important and strange to see. But in that same moment, Gael is somehow denied his own bi identity, you know, like, in one moment, his grandfather is accepting of his trans granddaughter. And then in the very next sentence, he's erasing Gael's bisexuality. And I thought that was a very interesting, very, like, real thing to see happen on television, is that, okay, well, I accept her, but you're choosing this, because bisexuality isn't real, you know? And that's something no one ever talks about, too, right? Like, it's bi erasure all day, 24/7. So it was very cool to actually see that and be like, whoa, like, you can be multitudes of things. His grandfather can be accepting of this and not accepting of this. So I thought that was really cool to watch. But I have a little problem with Good Trouble and most things on Freeform. And my little problem with this episode was that, I don't know, like, a lot of Freeform does, what I've noticed they do, is they kind of bring up this kind of like model minority, you know, like, oh, well, you can be a trans you can be trans as long as you're, oh, let's guess, a service member. Okay, you can be an undocumented person, but, oh, you're a perfect undocumented person, right? Like, your kids are perfect. You own a business. You make lots of money. You're perfect. And so these people, because they're perfect, even though they go against the grain, we should accept them. And my only problem with that is that I think we should accept people anyways. I think, like, trans women don't have to be service members to be accepted and loved and valued, right? So I think it's cool what they did. I really do. And it's something that needs to be talked about. But at the same time, I'm like, can we move away from the model minority stereotype? Like, can trans people just be trans people? And for that, they get to live and survive and be, you know, I think that's enough. I don't think they need to also be perfect for a middle of the aisle person who, I don't know, lives in Nebraska and is unsure, you know, like, oh, I never met a trans person, right? Like, I don't feel like they don't need to be all those things. They can just be people, and we should just accept them in a perfect world. But we're not in a perfect world, and they're trying to make sense of society now, so I respect it. But I do kind of have a feeling that it's very, like, model minority. Like, they have to be perfect, and I just don't see it for that. Like, I think you can be complete fuck-up, like, in the other show you mentioned, and still be loved and accepted. So Good Trouble's doing really good in that segment, in that episode. I cried like a little girl. I love it. It was so good. Five panduzas to that episode. But I feel like a lot of the... I think it has the same problem the rest of the show that, like, the L Word has, where they're trying to bite off too many things at the same time. And a lot of it feels like After School specially. Like, the... There's a whole fucking, like, white guilt plot line with Davia, who's also a plus size woman. And I think, like, that's maybe too many layers of, like, things to put on one character, and then to ever, like, give one topic enough time and enough, like, energy, you know? Like, Shrill concentrates on, like, big women, plus size women, loving that, right? But with Davia, she had to kind of also be the fat girl and also be the woke, the unwoke white girl. And I feel like that's a lot to put on a character and to kind of give it its time to kind of go on this journey. I feel like that's a lot to put on a character. And then there's like a Black Lives Movement like character, and she's doing a lot of things.
I like Malika's storyline a lot,
but I don't.
There's they just give some her a lot of layers. I think you're frustrated by the layers, and maybe it has to do with like having binged it for the last couple of days.
That's true.
I gotta say, when they had Davia as this, because I found Davia really annoying from the beginning. So when they had the fat storyline and stuff, I was like, okay, all right, fine, like whatever. I wasn't super interested in her character. Mm-mm. When they brought her in and like made it, you know, very obvious that just because she has this wokeness about her when it comes to fat fatness and fat representation and body positivity, that doesn't mean she's an all-knowing being. And they Mm-mm. knocked her down a peg with like the being the white person who tries to reach the black kids. Oh, you know, I thought I kind of was like into it in a way of like in that way, in that like knocking her down a peg way, and like we all need to keep working on ourselves and like look outside of ourselves way. I do think I agree with the after specialty comment that you made. It was a bit much, but you know, sometimes that shit has to be said, because I feel like they weren't gonna do it to Callie. And what other white women is there in that? Because like,
and they could do it to Callie. There's a lot of things that her character is doing where I'm like, that's some real like white feminism bullshit. But go off.
She's a lawyer, so it's just kind of like, I don't know how they would go about it. That'd be interesting. And plus, I think they also ran their course with it on the Fosters, because she had to learn so many lessons on that show. So yeah, I don't know, but I did not mind that storyline at all. And I think that Malika being this complex woman with like so many things going on, and men in her life who have very like unique situations too, it can get a little like you said, like very model minority. I totally agree with that. But I think that it's not doing as bad as L Word. I'm sorry, they can't even juggle. At least they're juggling badly on Control, but they are juggling. They're actually moving the balls and catching them.
They are catching them. In my opinion. They're catching them. No, I mean,
they also have Evan, who is on the autism spectrum. I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, they have, but he's not actually autistic, right?
No, so he's not.
It's like, dude, like, okay, yes, we got an autistic character, but he's not played by an autistic person. And yes, acting is about acting, but once you can actually get people who are autistic to start and pay them, and once they actually have real representation, then we can come back to have this conversation of whether a non-autistic person can play an autistic person. But for the time being, I would prefer it if they actually did, right? And that goes the same, like, Malika's storyline, it's cool. I just, there's a lot there where I'm like, can you give her a break? Like, I need some joy. I need some joy. That's what I'm saying. They're just like piling things on her. And I'm like, this is getting a little too real. I want her to be happy. Can she be can she be a little happy? Can she get some joy? You've given her a lot of bullshit, and that's real life. And we already have that. But then again, you know, this show is for a certain audience.
It's not
audience.
A happy show.
It's
like,
not. It's
everyone. It's, in the, like, if Malika were to get some happy storylines, which she definitely deserves, she would be alone in that. I don't know what other character has that right now. They're all in some kind of deep pain. I guess that's why it's called Good Trouble.
yeah, they're all getting into a lot of trouble, but it is the good kind, and I respect it because I feel like maybe this show is for someone who maybe isn't really, like, doesn't know all these kinds of people, and maybe this is their exposure. I'm not mad at it. I'm just kind of like, damn, like, give her a break. Why is Davia doing this? This is embarrassing to watch. Like, but I guess it's like a learning thing. It's a learning tool for, like, other people.
Yeah, not for me. That's where I'm like, there are things that we see that other people don't see, you know?
Yeah, like for us, we're like, okay, this is all very tired. We already know these things. We learn them because it's who we are. We grew up like that, right?
But it's like, have you seen that? Have you seen a storyline like that where they kind of shamed Davia that way?
No. I like that. I like that they did that. What I don't like is that... I get it. You know, I get that they're educating because a lot of white people don't know about this shit because they have so much privilege, right? If with me, it's like, I roll, I'm past this. I don't want to educate, right? I don't want to see someone get educated because, bitch, it ain't for me, right? But I accept that it's not for me. It's for a different audience, and I hope that they learn and they grow and they're seeing all these things and they're picking things up and changing and growing because I don't need to learn that lesson. So some of these things aren't for me. Most of them are not for me. I watch it for Gael's beautiful hair, Sherry Cola having drama with... Okay, what do you think about, like, that whole, like, storyline with her dating someone who is non-binary? I like that they did that, but I didn't... like their relationship for anything in the world.
They didn't really have a lot of chemistry.
Nope.
There was a bit of lacking there. And yeah, it was a little iffy. I'm glad anytime that there's non-binary representation, period.
Yes.
But it was definitely, like, messy.
Like, it felt kind of, like, put on. It felt put on and forced a little.
A bit. Was it, like, was a bit forced. Yeah,
you guys are elongating the storyline. They could have cut the score.
Yeah, they could have been like, it didn't work out. Next. Like, next. Please. I don't know.
But yeah, other than that, I love Sherry Cola. The gift that keeps giving.
Hilarious.
I love her. She's hilarious on Twitter. She's hilarious everywhere. So, Good Trouble, I still, you know, it has its things that aren't for me, most definitely. But it doesn't take away from the fact of what it does and what it's no one else is really doing these and giving these after-school specials for these kids that need it. So, for that, I give the entire series as a whole up to now about, you know, 4 panduces, you know, because it's really good at representation. It has all types of people and it's very diverse. It's all the things that I asked for and they're doing that. So I'm going to give them 4 stars. 4 stars. 4 panduces. My God.
Yeah.
This fever.
Yeah, I would probably only give it a half cafecito for the fact that they sometimes bore me with, like, the hetero stuff, but... that's pretty much, yeah, and then the lack of chemistry for Sherry's character. But that's pretty much it. Like, I can't knock it for too much.
Yeah, we can't knock it for trying, because it's really trying. So I give it that, you know. It's like, good job.
Pat on the back.
Yes. So what about you? Which show will you be talking about?
We already, like, briefly mentioned it. So I'm going to talk about a little reboot on Freeform called Party of Five. And let me tell you, I'm gonna be super honest. When I first saw the pilot, I was like, I am never gonna cover this. Like, same. I am not, like, this came out literally the first day of the year, like January 1st, or at least that was when, like, Hulu maybe had, like, a preview to it or something. But that's when I saw it, and I am really, really happy that I kept with it and kept watching it, because I changed my mind. Because it was a rough start, let me tell you. This show was created for Freeform by Amy Lippman and Christopher Casey, some white people, basically. And they executive produced the show alongside Rodrigo Garcia, who is Colombian. That's pretty much all I know about him. I don't have a whole lot to say about any of the creators or producers. But the basic premise is that the 5 Acosta children are left to fend for themselves after their parents are deported to Mexico. So I'm just gonna talk about the characters, because that's kind of how you'll really get the story. The eldest son is Emilio. He's in his 20s and he's the only legal adult of the batch, and he's like this womanizer in a rock band who doesn't live with his family, and he's now facing the prospect of raising and caring for his 4 siblings, and he's also has to take over the family business, which is a restaurant and the only source of real income for them. So he's He's also the only of his siblings who wasn't born in the U.S. He has DACA status. So next in line is the twins, Beto and Lucia. I think they're like 16-ish, they're teens. Beto, the boy, he's your typical teenage dude. All he wants is girls, but he can't get them. He struggles in school. He has a good heart, and he's really good with his younger siblings. And Lucia, she's an interesting character. She's like the ultra smart chick. Like, it's a new trope that's kind of happening. It's not necessarily a negative one of like the ultra smart Latina. I don't know if you've seen it in these new shows that are coming out.
Yeah,
that's kind of what her character is. She's always killed it in school, and she kind of becomes social justice oriented. When all this stuff happens to her, when her parents are literally taken away from her in front of her face, like, she's pissed on a different level, because her whole life she's done the right thing. She's been a good girl. Bad things, they still happen to her and to her family, right? Like, the model minority, like, was still screwed over, I guess, was yep. the point of her story. But she's like, yeah, what's the point? So she starts to kind of like lash out and do teenager stuff, like make bad decisions. I'll talk about her a little bit more later because I have a lot to say. Next in line is Valentina. She's not quite a teenager yet. She's definitely a mommy's girl. Throughout season one, I would say she's the one that takes the deportation the hardest of all her siblings. She's just this little lovable kid who is just really traumatized by what's happened to her family. So last is Rafael. He's just a little baby. He's super cute. That's it. That's all I have to say about Rafael. He's literally a baby. And I guess other characters to talk about would be Javier and Gloria Acosta. They're the parents. They're not left out of the story, which I'm glad about. They're featured pretty prominently. Their problems go like way beyond the detention centers and the getting deported. Like, there's more, right? Like, their struggles continue after the deportation. Mm. So we see them like struggle with getting work, with being away from each other, with separation from their children, because that's traumatic. And even having to distance themselves on purpose from their children because it's hurting them. And it continues on. It weighs on their marriage. Like, they start making really difficult decisions, and like things about their past come in where, like, yes, we see them at first as these model parents, these model business owners, but they aren't so perfect after all, we find out later. So to back it up a little bit, what got me back into the show, because I watched it and was like, nope, and then I came back.
Same.
It was Lucia's storyline and everything that came with it. She gets into the social justice scene, like I said. She meets a couple of queer ladies. That's super interesting. Mm-hmm. But the first thing that happens, she befriends a nice boy who is homeless and undocumented, and she wants to help him. And this is going to be a slight spoiler for some people, but if you watch Tales of the City reboot, you might have already suspected this. But Matthew is also trans. We don't find this out for a while. There's a whole storyline with it. It's really good. But the reason I'm mentioning it is because it complicates his relationship with his DACA status, because it's his dead name, you know?
Mm. I knew he looked familiar. I was like, I've seen him somewhere else. Like, he looks so familiar.
Yeah, he's like a Latino, and he's trans in real life. So I really like his character. It evolves. He gets to flirt. He gets to do all his thing. It's great. And Lucia is kind of, you know, his homie this whole time. So Lucia also questions her identity in like a number of ways. At first, it kind of has to do with how she doesn't want to be like her mother. And her mom is very much like the homemaker, the wife, the mom, the person at home who cooks. And she doesn't want to be that. And later on, her identity crisis kind of turns into something else. I don't want to spoil it, but let's just say I'm real excited for a reason.
You should talk about it.
Maybe at the end. I don't want to spoil it.
It's pretty, at the end.
It's very spoilery. It's like last two episodes shit. So, but I will say that Lucia has a very relatable problem of overthinking things and doing rash shit that basically makes her fall on her ass. And then that's how she learns her lessons. Like, she goes all the way and does the thing that is completely misguided because...
Relatable.
Yeah.
Same.
So, yeah, I mean, like I kind of said, I guess I haven't really explained why it started out so rough. It's, for me, it was mainly the acting. it was just rough. Mm. And I think that their comfort with their characters, like, increased. And then my comfort with their characters increased. And, of course, the storyline got more interesting and heavier and had its layers and stuff. But the show is based in Los Angeles, I believe. So more than once, their family is kind of contrasted to people like Ella. She comes from an incredibly wealthy Beverly Hills type of family. And their financial troubles are non-existent. So I guess the point that they try to drill in is that Ella's family could never even hope to be, like, as close to each other as the Costas. So, like, you know, they're always missing that connection, that white, rich family. But the Costas are always missing the money that could fix all their problems, you know? it's interesting contrast there, I guess. Yeah, I think, assuming that it gets renewed, I think it's going to do well. Yeah, it's the creators, I think, need to let go of the reins a little bit, because they have a lot of, like, Latinx writers and directors involved with the show. Some of them are new blood, some of them are old blood. Patricia Cardoso, who did Real Women Have Curves, directed one of the episodes.
Oh, wow.
If they kind of let go of the story a bit, I think they'll do good.
You said if they let go of the story?
Like, a little bit, you know, because obviously creators, they always do first episodes and last episodes, and they do most of the direction. They have the final say. But these are, like, two white people. Like, I don't know. So, I don't know. I don't know what the fix is, but they started doing better towards the end of the season. Maybe they'll have better luck season two. Maybe they figured it out. I don't know. Hopefully, honestly, I think I want them to have a second chance. I want the second season, and I want to see what Lucia gets up to. So,
yeah, I mean, my only issues with the show, of course, just go back to the model minority concept. The very first episode had the little girl go in the stand and say all the reasons why they were perfect minorities and they deserved a chance and they were different from the other minorities because they were perfect. And I don't buy into that. I don't like that. I think all people deserve to stay. So it felt very, from a different perspective that I'm not used to. You know, I'm more used to, like, everyone deserves a chance regardless of being perfect or not, right? And, you know, if you're idea of community doesn't extend to people that have been incarcerated, you know, like, just all types of people. It's just, it's complicated, but then it's not. So I don't really like watching brown people stand in front of white people and tell them why they deserve to stay in this country that was stolen in the first place. So it's frustrating.
I mean, it's the same issue that you kind of had with Good Trouble, where it's like they're trying to show this to people who don't understand it.
Yeah.
And they're also trying to drill in this point of, like, it doesn't matter how perfect and great this undocumented person was or is, they're gonna deport them, you know, like, there's no humanity in this process, that type of thing. But yeah, they bring in other undocumented characters. Like I said, that's why I want them to have a second chance. Maybe they'll bring in more characters who aren't these model minorities and talk about them, you know, because they do focus a lot on the family. Other characters have space in this show.
Yeah, like, open up that universe to their audience, because I get who they're talking to, and it's not me. And yeah, I'm past that as well, right? So it's, there's a lot of characters.
I also think, like, you gotta keep going, because I know that you're not all the way through the show.
I know. I gotta keep going.
There's more to, like, not everybody's as perfect as you think, type of thing.
Ooh, okay, all right, that's good. I needed to know that. But yeah, I'm gonna keep watching it, because, you know, everyone that I said says eventually becomes queer, so I'm I'll do anything for queer content. I am that bitch, so I will continue to watch this. But it was really hard to watch that very first episode. It just felt very trauma porn. It felt very, like, brown people suffering so white people can become enlightened. I'm not into that. Really, really not into that. And emotionally manipulating me into getting my, like, triggering a lot of things that are happening, really, really happening to a lot of people. And I just by chance got lucky. My mom got lucky. We're just lucky. It's not any different, you know, we're just lucky. So watching it is very, very hard from that perspective of thinking, you know, that could be me. So
Yeah, it's complicated because, like, with television, they have to set this premise and they have to, like, lay all this groundwork and stuff. I think, like, film kind of spoils us sometimes because we just kind of get to see these little slices of life. But in television, it's different. You know,
Yeah.
it's like Minecraft. You have to build from the ground up type of shit. So,
They're building a lot.
yeah. And they're gonna break it down. So,
Okay.
yeah. So I like I said, not the. The sound is back. Hold on. Okay. Yeah, like I said, not. Sorry.
No, you're
I
good.
just don't want them to have to hear this. Okay. Hopefully it's gone. Okay. I think, you know, well, I don't even remember what I was saying.
You're making like your final point, I think.
Was what was I saying? I say give it a go. It's not my favorite show in the world. I would probably give it like first half of the season, like Capítulo and a half, and then the later half, like a one or maybe even half Capítulo. I would say actually I'll say one because it does make you go through it even with the storyline that I really like that I'm not gonna talk about. So I would go check it out. They're all on Hulu.
Okay. I haven't gotten there to give it a rating. I won't. That's unfair. But it's hard to get through in those first episodes. Just be reminded of that. If you guys don't want to see brown people suffering, then give it some time because that first episode is a lot. It's a lot. It's heavy. But yeah, I mean, I'm not gonna rate it yet because I'm not there yet. So I hope it gets better, like you said, and I'm gonna give it a chance. So.
For sure, for sure. But yeah, that was all of our shows.
Okay.
So, let's end this off by saying, please give us a review on iTunes. Por favor, please. This helps so much and it's completely free.
Yes, it's a free way to support you girls. 5 stars, please.
But we do have another way that is another way to support us that isn't free. Do you want to tell them a little about that?
Yeah, so what you guys can do is every month we actually give out different content depending on what y'all want. It's very exclusive. It's on our Patreon. You guys can subscribe for as low as I believe $1 and get a shout out. $3, you can join Cafecito Gang or Concha Gang, and you can even go to the Arcoiris level, the rainbow level. It's $10 a month, and it comes with extra perks of literally you get to produce an episode. Just tell us what you want us to talk about. We will do that for you. And just anything else you guys want. But we want to give a special shout out to all our current or last month patrons. We love y'all so much. Thank you for supporting. You guys really helping these two poor girls during coronavirus time. So we really appreciate y'all. And if you guys want to become Patreon supporters, you can just go hit the link in our bio on our Twitter or Instagram, or feel free to visit our website where you can also learn how to become a Patreon. So hopefully you guys
That's
will.
cabronasychingonas.com.
Yes, it's very easy. There's a Y, cabronasychingonas.com. Thanks so much. But yeah.
All right, why
So,
don't you go ahead with your shout outs?
yeah. So I'm going to give a shout out to Glow, who's in the other room right now. I want to give a shout out to Aaron. I love you so much. I want to go to your island on Animal Crossing. Thanks so much. Rassi, I've been on your island. It's amazing. It's better than a lot of people's fucking islands. It's better than my island, so I love you. He has his own podcast. It's called Shit You Don't Care About Podcasts. It's on Spotify, it's on iTunes, it's on everything. Go give them a listen. They talk about obviously shit you might not care about, but it's very interesting and I love them. Shout out to Chrissy. I see you, you're living. I love your fucking farm animals. They're also adorable. If you guys want quality content of, you know, to get out of your depression, please follow Chrissy on fucking on Instagram, on Twitter, where she posts all her lovely farm animals, and they're really good
And
right now. I love
pins.
them all the time. Shout out to Marima, the baddest bitch I know from South Texas. Was good girl. she started her own outdoor like hiking group. It's called Dike Hike RGV, Rio Grande Valley. Go follow her on her Instagram. Go follow the Dike Hike. It's fucking amazing. I love it. Shout out to my brother Vettel, our brother Vettel. Shout out to Heather. Was goody. Thanks for supporting us another month. You're everything. Shout out to Michelle. Thank you so much for supporting. Really appreciate you. Shout out to R. I don't know your pronouns, but thank you so much for supporting another month. It means the world to us. Shout out to Stephanie from No Rice, All Beans. I love beans, but I can't eat them too much. But now I am. I love you. Go support No Rice and All Beans. And then last but not least, shout out to Erica. Thank you for all the support. You're the shit. Thank you for another month of supporting us. So appreciate it.
All right, my turn. Yes. shout out to Marisa, homie, who is chilling in El Paso through the COVID. And shout out to Mireya. She has the best Cafecito merch in the game right now. Shout out to Rosaura. Shout out to Addie at Podcast Planner on Instagram. You should follow her if you like podcast stuff. She gives all kinds of knowledge for free, so go check her out. Also, shout out to Alicia, who's been supporting since day one from Australia. You're the best. Shout out to Elena, who's also been supporting for a long time from the Bay Area. You're also the best. And shout out to Alejandra. Thanks for being a chingona supporter. And I think that's everybody. But yeah, if you want a shout out like this, definitely go check out patreon.com/CYC podcast. You can also support us by buying merch at Teespring. The link is in our bio on our Instagram and Twitter at CYC podcast and on our website.
Thanks so much, y'all. Be safe. Stay inside. Be nice to people who have to go outside. And be healthy. Be good.
Bye, guys. Bye.